As he was entering a certain village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him, and they sang their voices to him, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply to those around, "Why, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, to the man, "Stand up, go on your way. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. You were 38 when I was born. God bless you. We rejoice with you today. We rejoice with your whole family and this whole community. What a great lesson for us today. We hear this theme of thankfulness. Remember, everything is rooted in the mind-boggling mystery of God's love for us, and how St. Alphonsus, the founder of the Redemptorist Congregation, to which I belong, would constantly write and preach about how God does not need our love, but wants it. Love is an answer response. God loves us, we love God back. And how is that done in our lives? We said today is World Mission Sunday. We don't have to go to a foreign country. Some of us did. I worked in Brazil, and I came all the way to Tucson from Wisconsin. It's not a foreign country. But we're missionaries right at home, aren't we? We're called to be missionaries right at home, in our families, in our communities. Some of the things to which the Lord calls us makes us fidget. At least it does to me. For me, it makes us uncomfortable. And when we share it with others, sometimes they will say they feel offended. St. Timothy is very clear here. I mean, St. Paul, writing to St. Timothy, he's talking about the Word of God that never changes, the truth of God never changes. In fact, when God came to this earth, died for the truth. And St. Paul tells Timothy, if we deny the Lord of life, he will deny us. Ouch. That made me more than many, many times. In the first reading today, we hear about Naaman. He's the commander of foreign troops, opposing foreign troops. And he has the disease of leprosy, it seems. And he runs into the prophet Elisha. And the story came before today's reading, but he told him, well, in the name of God, God says you have to go into the river 7 times. And he complained, 7 times? Why can't it just be once? Well, remember, 7 in the Bible is a really good number. It means it's plentiful. So he does it. And he's cleansed. And what happens is he is converted to the one true God. And he tries to pay Elisha. And Elisha says, no, don't give me thanks. Give thanks to God. Change your life. And he does so in such a way, Naaman says, at least give me 2 wheelbarrows of ground from Israel here, from this part of the world. And I'll take it home and I will stand there to worship the one true God. He changed. His life flipped around, flipped over. The Gospel. Whenever you see that Jesus is making his journey toward Jerusalem, he's on a mission. He's going to fulfill the mission of God, the mission of love. So he's on his way toward Jerusalem. He's from the north. He's from Galilee, but he has to pass through Samaria and other places. As we hear from St. Luke, he's entering a village because outside the villages is where all those considered sinners had to be. They weren't allowed in the village. And who were they? Public sinners, like prostitutes and so forth. Anyone who was crippled, anyone who's ill, like lepers, they were considered sinners, because the thinking at the time was, well, either you did something to deserve this, or your parents did, and they came down to you. So they're all outside the village with who else? The dead. The cemeteries are out there, unclean. So here's Jesus, and he comes across these 10 fellows. Leprosy, especially back then, is a terrible disease. I was a missionary in Brazil for a number of years in the Amazon. And today there is a cure, there is treatment. And I worked and ministered with persons with this disease. Today it's called Hansen's disease. If left untreated, it eats away at extremities, your nose, your lips, your ears, your fingers. It tightens your skin and makes it like hard plastic. It's awful. But a person who is treated from that moment on, even before, it's not very contagious, but there's a stigma. But afterwards, they're more likely to catch a cold from somebody than leprosy. But imagine, these were probably disfigured fellows. And by law, they had to make way for the unclean. You have to pronounce that you were unclean, a sinner. So they asked the Lord, have pity on us. What does the Lord do? He cures them all. And then he tells them, now go show yourselves to the priest. You have to follow the law, go through that ritual so the priest can check you over and say, you can be part of the community again. As they were on their way, we hear one, and they realize they're cleansed. One comes back, and he's a Samaritan. Samaritans are despised by the Jews. It's a long story. Part of it is about prayer and where they should pray and so forth. But a Samaritan comes back, and he thanks God, and he follows the Lord. His life changes altogether. What can I do with my life in thanksgiving now that I have dignity back? And the Lord, in a way, uses this occasion and says to everyone around, one has come back. Did I not cure 10? Where are the other guys? Where are the other 9? Rhetorical question, they're not here. Where are they? None but this foreigner, the so-called sinner, because he's a Samaritan, he knows, and he's come to thank the Lord for life. I would like to take a few minutes to share with you a bit about something that recently hit me between the eyes, made me fidget, made me very uncomfortable, maybe offended me when I read it. It has a lot to do with human dignity, respect life. And I'll use pretty decent language in this. I've told people I'm a bit of a Civil War buff. Abe Lincoln and I share birthdays. And we have more than that in common. We're so alike. High hair, so forth. There were at least two dark days in American history. Take this and take it to God to see what God is asking you to do with this. In 1857, on March 6th, the United States Supreme Court voted 7-2, remember that number, 7-2, declaring that Afro-Americans were not persons. This is history. This is law of the land. They were not legal persons. As such, they were property, it declared. They could be beaten, they could be sold, they could be killed if the owner wished. You had the right to do that, the legal right. Fortunately, in 1868, the 14th Amendment was created. The 14th Amendment declared that it secured the rights of Afro-Americans, declaring that they were and are persons, full persons. Now remember, this amendment did not give them these rights or this dignity. God did. But the law of the land was now united with God's, recognizing the dignity and the rights that God had already given them. So human law was brought into line with God's law. Now let's look at the other dark day. Another one of many dark days was on January 22nd, 1973. I was about to turn 16, I think. Didn't you all know that age? By another vote of the United States Supreme Court, 7-2, again, the Supreme Court voted that the same 14th Amendment that gave Afro-Americans, declaring that they were persons, declared that that amendment did not apply to children before they were born. A child in the womb, the Supreme Court declared, is not a human person, a legal person. Imagine. So all those 9 months of pregnancy, the court said, during that time, the mother had the right to end that baby's life. Legal right. Was made legal in all 50 states. Now, here's the part that makes us uncomfortable. I came across some facts a few weeks ago. I don't know where I've been all my life. If I've seen this, I may have been callous to it because it really upsets me and it makes me more vigilant that I want to share with you. The number of unborn children who have been killed in the last 25 years, more or less, is 1,200 million worldwide. If my math is correct, that's 8 zeros. 1.2 billion. The numbers make your head explode. 1.2 billion worldwide. And in the United States, 37 million. 37 million. It comes out to about, this will not go over, 4,500 every day. About 4,500 per day. Just to put things into perspective, remember 9/11? Who doesn't? Who was born already? Close to 3,000 people died that day. 3,000. This was awful. Look at the numbers, just to help with the perspective. During the whole dictatorship of Adolf Hitler, during about 12 years, about 6 million Jews were exterminated. If you feel uncomfortable with this, join the club. If you feel uncomfortable with it, and even if you don't, the Lord is asking us to take this in light of our Christian commitment. Pray about it. Talk with your spouse about it. Talk with your friend. Reflect on it. Look at it. What can I do, Lord? And don't say, all I can do is pray. Oh, that's a big deal. Pray. Maybe something else. Let's actively always give thanks to God. The Lord of life. You know, I was reflecting too. None of us made the decision to be conceived and to be born, did we? God decided ultimately first. And then our mothers, our fathers, even those who have been adopted, someone decided. But we can choose for others too. Let's actively give thanks to the Lord, living our lives to the fullest, with respect, with dignity, showing respect and dignity to all human persons, whatever it might be that they're involved in, whether it is the issue of abortion, euthanasia, maltreatment at borders all over the world, whatever it might be. And let's live it to the fullest. Thanks. Amen.
Amen.